You have your Bible this morning, if you'll be turning to the book of Matthew and the 27th chapter. That's where we'll begin our study in just a moment. While you're getting your Bibles, we want to welcome each of you here. It's good to have some visiting with us. I want you to feel at ease as you make your visit. I encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. If you find that I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. If you think I state something in a way that's unbecoming of a Christian, I stand to be corrected. We have a goal to preach the truth of God and to practice that which we find in the Scripture. And we'd consider you a friend if you find we're doing something wrong, that we would make the proper correction. We'll be standing and singing the song in just a moment that Brother Travis has suggested. You've not put on Christ in baptism. All things have been made ready. There's clothing here, the baptistry's filled. We'd be glad to baptize you into Christ for the remission of sins, as is taught in Mark 16:16 and other places. In the book of Matthew and the 27th chapter, if you will, begin reading with me at verse 31. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him and put his own clothes on him and led him away to be crucified. Now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, place of a skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over him there, and they put upon his head, above his head, the accusation written against him, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and the other on the left. Many times when I go back and I read the accounts of Jesus being led to the crucifixion, I try to picture in my mind what that day must have been like. I've tried time and time again to sit down with my Bible and just think about the day they led Jesus up that hill called Golgotha. And then when I look at my Bible, I think about what people must have saw that day. The first thing that comes to my mind is the events of that day and the things the people beheld when they looked at Calvary. I think about the people that saw on that day when Jesus had been scourged, when they took the cat of nine tails and beat the back of Jesus, and to see the blood pouring from His body. And what it must have been looked like to see the Son of God as He is being beaten. Then I think about when they take Him and they nail Him to that cross. How that back that had been exposed by the beating now was laid upon rough lumber. And the splinters that must have went into the wounds and the pain that was inflicted upon the Son of the living God. And I try in my mind to imagine that pain. And though I can't do that because it was unimaginable pain, I think about the spikes being driven through His hands and through His feet. And I've tried to put in my mind when they lifted that cross up and with a thud laid it into the ground, and there is Jesus suspended between heaven and earth. I think about the events of that day, and it causes my heart to cringe. But then I think about the people of that day. I try in my mind to think about the people that stood at the cross that day, and what did they see? Have you ever stopped to examine the different people that stood at the foot of the cross and to look at the faces at the cross and the people that stood around the cross when they looked at the cross? Just exactly what did they see? The first thing I think we recognize is that some people, when they looked at the cross and they looked at Jesus, those individuals saw Jesus as a delusional man, a blasphemer. When they looked at the cross, they thought Jesus was nothing more than an individual who blasphemed the God of heaven. If you take your Bible and look in the book of John and the 10th chapter, you'll find that on a second occasion, they've took up stones. This is the second time you'll find they've gathered stones to throw at Jesus. The first time is in John 8:59. But in John 10 and verse 31, the Scripture says the Jews took up stones again to stone Him. Now, why did the Jews want to put Jesus to death at that time? Jesus said to him in verse 32, "Many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" And watch what they say. The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God." They did not recognize that Jesus was deity. They did not recognize He was God in the flesh, that He was the only begotten Son of God, sent from heaven to dwell, robed in flesh. And when they looked at Jesus, all they saw was a blasphemer. They did not recognize that He and the Father were one. They did not recognize He was the divine Son of God. And when they looked at the cross, they may have thought Jesus was getting exactly what He deserved. This blasphemer of the Jews, this blasphemer of the God of heaven. But then if you take your Bible, I want you to examine something else. Many people that day, when they looked at the cross, they saw a threat to get rid of. Not did they see a blasphemer, but when they looked at Jesus, they saw somebody who questioned their authority and somebody who might take their position from them. If you take your Bible, look in the book of John and the 12th chapter. In the book of John and the 12th chapter, notice, if you will, what was said in verse 19. In John 12 and verse 19, look at the statement after Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. "The Pharisees therefore said amongst themselves, 'You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after Him.'" They were fearful that the world would start following Jesus. So what did they do? Well, look back in John chapter 11. Look, if you will, at verse 47. "Then the chief priest and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, 'What shall we do? For this man works many signs. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come,'" and watch it, "'take away both our place and nation.'" Look at their fear. They didn't want to lose their place. They were religious leaders. They were people respected. They were individuals making money, and they were fearful of losing their place. So when they looked at Jesus, all they saw was a threat to the status quo. All they saw was a threat that could remove them from their place of authority and remove them from their position of prestige. And watch what they said. If you will, look at verse 49. "Caiaphas, being the high priest that year, said to them, 'You know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and not the whole nation should perish.'" Notice he doesn't say that in verse 51 on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also that He would gather together in one children of God who were scattered abroad. And look at verse 53. "From that day on, they plotted to put Him to death." So there were individuals that day, when they looked at Calvary, they rejoiced. When they looked at the three crosses, they said, "That's a thief, that's a thief, and that's the one who was going to take away our power. That's the one we wanted to be on the cross. That's the one we come to rejoice over. We're getting rid of a threat." And when they looked at Jesus, all they saw was one to get rid of. But I want to tell you, there's a third group. There were some that when they looked at the cross, they saw a man who made claims and they wondered if they were true. There were some there that day that when they came, they had heard the teaching of Jesus. And no doubt when they looked at the cross, in their mind, they said, "Could it be that we are putting the Christ to death?" No doubt there were some there who had questions in their mind. And I've often thought about the faces at the cross. I see some there who looked at Jesus and they saw nothing more than a blasphemer. I see some there that looked at Jesus and they saw nothing more than a threat. And no doubt there were some there that wondered about His teaching. But I want to tell you, there's a fourth group there. They were there because they wanted to see a spectacle. Have you ever noticed there are some people that only show up if they think there's going to be something exciting? Open your Bible back to the book of Matthew in the 27th chapter. And look, if you will, at verse 39. And it says in verse 39, and those who passed by blasphemed him. Funny, earlier they accused him of blasphemy. Now they are blaspheming the Son of God, wagging their heads and saying, "You who destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days, save yourself if you are the Son of God. Come down from the cross." There were some there that just came so they could yell insults. Some there who wanted to watch a crucifixion. Some who were there out of indifference, but they wanted to see something new. But I want to tell you something else. Have you ever thought there were some who stood at Calvary that day that when they looked at Jesus, they saw one they loved dearly? Open your Bible to the book of John in the 19th chapter. And when you come to the book of John in the 19th chapter, look, if you will, at what is said in verse 25. "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus His mother and His mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene." Oh, can you imagine the pain in the heart of His mother who stood at the foot of the cross? Can you imagine the pain in the heart of Mary Magdalene who had come to believe that He was the Son of God? She'd had the demons cast out of her. She had become a disciple. She had anointed the feet of the Lord. I want you to look at these individuals that stood at the foot of the cross, and they were there out of love. You know, it's one thing, and it's mighty painful, to be at the bedside of someone you love and watch him die. I don't know how many people I've been by their bedside when they pass. And you know what we hope for? That they have a peaceful passing. But can you imagine Mary looking at her son as he is writhing in pain upon a cross? Can you imagine the pain in her heart when she looked up and saw that child that she gave birth to, knowing that he was the Son of God? She knew that she gave a miraculous birth to him. And there she watched as they nailed him to a cross. Oh, a picture there. But I want to tell you there's something else. When God saw the cross, when God looked at Calvary, when the Heavenly Father looked down, He saw a sacrifice that will take away the sin. Now that brings up a second thought in our study. We've looked at what people saw when they looked at the cross, but have you ever thought things must look different from Jesus' point of view? Things look different from Calvary's cross looking out than they did from the people looking up. When Jesus looked out, have you ever thought what Jesus saw? It's one thing to observe what the people saw when they looked at Jesus. Have you ever stopped to think about what Jesus saw when He looked at the people? First thing I want you to recognize is He saw He could come down. Back in Matthew 27, as is recorded in Luke 23, remember what they said in verse 40? "If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." You remember that's exactly the way the devil tempted Him in Matthew 4. "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If you are the Son of God, cast yourself off the temple and just float down and people will believe. If you are the Son of God, why don't you bow down and worship me and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world." And here at the end they say, "If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross, then we'll believe you." Oh, they wouldn't have believed Him. He'd already raised Lazarus from the dead, and their heart was so hard they didn't believe Him. And look again at verse 42. "He saved others. Himself He cannot save. If He is the King of Israel, let Him now come down from the cross, and we will believe Him." That was a lie. But I want to tell you, my friend, Jesus knew the whole time that legions of angels were there. He could have called the legions to take Him from the cross. Never get in your mind that Jesus could not have come down. The reason He stayed on that cross was to be the sacrifice for our sins. He saw angels waiting for His command. He told the apostles before He was crucified, "I have the legions of angels at my command." So what Jesus saw from the cross is people saying, "Come down." He saw He could come down. He saw the angels waiting for His command. But I'll tell you the reason He stayed on that cross is He saw people lost in sin. Not just the people around the cross that day. I want to tell you who He saw. He saw you. He saw me. The view from Calvary is different than the view looking at Calvary, because He looked at you and He saw a soul worth dying for. Oh, I would this morning I had the ability to get into the hearts of men and women the fact that Jesus saw them from the cross. But I'll tell you what else He saw. He saw a debt man could not pay. Do you recognize the reason He's on the cross is because you owe a debt that you could never pay and He could? You sinned. You violated God's holy law. You transgressed God's command. You violated that which God said, do not cross. You've practiced lawlessness. And I can honestly say about everybody in this room, because I can say it about everybody on this creation, we are sinners. And what we need is the blood of Christ. And the blood of Christ is the only thing that can remove the sin. That's the only thing that could pay the debt. I could never do enough good works to take away sin. Because good works doesn't take away sin. Only the blood of Christ. I do good because I'm a child of God and I need to show my faith and I need to repay others and teach others the truth of God. But I can never repay the debt I owe God. And so when I look at the cross, I see Jesus. Jesus looks at, He sees a debt I could not pay, and He paid it for. He saw something worth the sacrifice. You know what hurts me sometimes? I see people who don't see the value of their own soul. The way they live, the things they practice, they act like their soul doesn't mean anything. But have you ever thought, the Son of God, who knows the glory of heaven, said, your soul is worth a great price. He knows the value of your eternal soul. People trade their souls for little things and for the things of this world. And yet, my friend, Jesus raised the question, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? He said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? You could only hold control of the world for so long, and then, my friend, eternity pay for it. That's not a good trade. And Jesus said, I'll tell you something. I'll show you the value of your soul. I'll put my life on the cross. I want to close with two questions in the lesson series. Things must look different from Calvary because of what Jesus sees in us. My question is, what is the cross from your view? From your view, what do you see the cross? How do you look at the cross? Have you ever stopped to think about what love God has for you? In a world that is restless, in a world that is confused, in a world that is struggling, have you ever stopped to think about the cross and how much the Creator loves you? But have you ever stopped to think what Jesus saw looking at you? And then ask the question, what do I see looking at Jesus? I'll tell you, the view must be different from Calvary. Because He was willing to make an ultimate sacrifice to save us from sin. And I sometimes wonder how it must hurt the God of heaven when we become indifferent and lukewarm and won't even be a living sacrifice and serve. Have you ever loved someone greatly and they didn't return the love? Have you ever thought about many times that's how we act towards God? Oh, I appreciate you being here. But I tell you what I want each of us to do. Look at Calvary a little closer today. And look at the love God has for us. And let us reciprocate. And let us live to the praise, honor, and glory of the one we serve. I tell you, when you do that, then when we help others and we are nice to others and we teach others, it doesn't seem like a big deal because we're showing the love God has for us. Question. How do you see Calvary? If you need to come to the Lord, we pray you come this morning as together we stand and sing.